This story from The Guardian. The number of civilians killed and injured in Afghanistan rose by a quarter in the first 6 months of this year. That's according to the United Nations. Homemade Taliban landmines are still the deadliest threat to ordinary Afghans, and the insurgents caused around three-quarters of all recorded civilian losses and injuries, said the UN in a report that charts rising violence in the wake of NATO troops accelerating departure from the country. Talking about the numbers, the UN records show that 1,319 civilians have been killed, 2,533 injured. Landmines, the battles between the Afghan forces and insurgents, mainly to blame in this report. But there was a sharp increase in civilians harmed in ground battles between Afghan government troops, the insurgents, the second leading cause of casualties, and a worrying new trend as fighting intensifies and insecurity spreads. Civilians are again increasingly borne the brunt of the armed conflict in Afghanistan in early 2013, the report warned. They experienced the grim reality of rising civilian deaths and injuries coupled with pervasive violence, which threatened the lives, livelihood, and well-being of thousands of Afghans. There's also in this report that maybe the Afghan soldiers are going to need help beyond the year 2014, especially if you've got this many civilian deaths and injuries, and the Taliban is just not going to stop once 2014 gets here.
Unfortunately not. We're going to hear a little bit later on this morning from Georgette Gagnon. She is with the UN's Human Rights Unit. They're behind this report, and she said they have been pleading with the Taliban to, you know, realize what they're doing, what their strategies are, and how they are killing and injuring a lot of civilians, including children. What kind of response they're going to get? Well, as you said, I don't know if there's going to be much at all for the Taliban. They want control of that country.
You know, when I think of the Taliban, I don't think of well-reasoned individuals.
That's probably well put.
That are open to the idea of compromise and changing their ways.
So you don't consider them family people saying, oh my gosh, we're injuring civilians and children?
No.
We've got to change our strategy.
No, and I understand you want to talk with them. You want to plead with them. You've got to exhaust all different angles to try to get these civilian casualties and injuries on the decline. But you really think the Taliban cares?
Yeah.
Of course not.
And as kind of a side note, do you think the UN really has any power anymore? I mean, they tell you they want you to change. They're trying to put pressure on it.
That's a great question.
But does it really have any impact?
Right. And when the UN says, we'll enforce sanctions.
Yeah.
Does anybody care?
That it doesn't seem to be.
Seriously, nobody really cares. This story from the BBC. A university student in the U.S., he was in San Diego, has received $4.1 million from the U.S. government after he was abandoned for more than 4 days in a prison cell, according to his lawyer. Daniel Chong said he drank his urine to stay alive. He tried to carve a message to his mother on his arm, and he hallucinated. He was held in a drug raid in 2012, but told he would not be charged. Nobody returned to his cell for 4 days. I remember talking about this
story. I do remember this story, yeah.
The Justice Department's inspector is now investigating what happened. Mr. Chong, who's now 25, said he slid a shoelace under the door and screamed to get attention before five or six people found him covered in his feces in the cell at the DEA's San Diego headquarters.
How do you just forget about somebody?
Right. That's the big question.
Yeah.
But if he's kicking and screaming and yelling, did they really forget about him, or were
they just
saying,
ignored him?
Hang out in there.
Uh-huh.
You just stay. I mean, you can't just forget about a guy if he was seriously screaming and yelling and banging on doors.
That's just it, yeah.
Unless all guards were gone for 4 days. Did they all get furloughed on the same day?
Yeah.
Was it just a vacation that they all had planned? Come on.
No, yeah.
It sounds like he was ignored.
There's something real fishy about this story.
After Mr. Chong was rescued, he spent 5 days in a hospital recovering from dehydration, kidney failure, cramps, and a perforated esophagus, which would probably mean he's yelling and screaming
right,
and all that sort
of
stuff.
Oh, man.
He also lost about 15 pounds. He was one of 9 people detained in the raid in April of 2012. Authorities determined that they would not pursue charges, as we mentioned, against him. One of Mr. Chong's lawyers said a police officer then put him in the holding cell and told him, "We'll come get you in a minute." Mr. Chong said he thought he was forgotten by mistake. It sounded like it was an accident, a really, really bad, horrible accident, he said. The 5-by-10-foot cell had no windows. Mr. Chong had no food, no water, while he was trapped inside for 4.5 days. As we mentioned, he started hallucinating on the third day.
I'd like to see the logistics of this because, I mean, the cell couldn't have been just by itself.
It's a holding cell.
Yeah, but I mean, there had to be other cells around there.
At one point, Mr. Chong admitted he thought he was going to die. He broke his eyeglasses by biting into them and tried to carve a sorry mom farewell message. He managed to finish an S. That's all the further he got. Mm-hmm. A DEA spokeswoman, Allison Price, confirmed that the $4.1 million settlement had been reached without providing further details. The incident prompted the head of the DEA to issue a public apology last May, saying he was deeply troubled by the incident. All right.
Yeah, it is deeply troubling.
It really is.
Yeah.
Speaking of deeply troubling.
Oh, I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
So you want the wiener to quit, huh? Well, you're not going to get your way.
You know, sometimes people say to me, you know, this campaign is pretty rough. You may want to quit. I know that there are newspaper editors and other politicians that say, boy, I wish that guy Wiener would quit. They don't know New York. Certainly don't know me. Quit isn't the way we roll in New York City. We fight through tough things. We are a tough city. There are people all around New York City who get up in the morning with a pretty tough day ahead of them, and they don't quit. But it's really not about the campaign and not about the candidates, and this isn't about me. This is about helping New Yorkers, because they understand this is about them. And this campaign has reminded me of that again and again, in all kinds of ways. You know, if someone wants to come out with something embarrassing about you in your private life, you got to talk about that for a little while. But it's also reminded me that citizens, when they come up to you, and they want to talk to you about a situation on their block or at their child's school or something going on at their job site, that's what this campaign is all about. And I'll never forget that.
And people will never forget what you did with your wiener. That's the whole point here. And
now, do you really think this will be effective in turning voters back toward him?
No.
But I mean, this is the big ad he's running now that he thinks is sort of verifying why he's staying in the race.
But it won't. This is just more fodder.
Yeah. Yep.
Because he's so delusional. When he says in the ad, this campaign isn't about me. It's about the needs of New Yorkers. Yeah, but it's about you.
Yeah.
They're voting for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about you and everything that you stand for and everything that you take pictures of. It's about you.
I mean, if he really wanted to have a confession during the ad, that might have been more effective, or say, all right, you know, I made these mistakes. We do need to address them, but we need to address the issues. Here's what needs to be done for New York. I'm the guy that can do it. Maybe that would at least have some substance, but this ad, not very good at all.
Now, when he starts and he says he's not going to quit, and then he talks about the toughness of New Yorkers, and they deal with hard times,
right,
and they never quit, and they've got great resolve. I kept thinking he was all of a sudden going to say, remember September 11th? When New Yorkers didn't quit and they didn't give up, I kept getting that feeling. And if he would have made that comparison, I would have flown to New York and punched him in his face.
Yeah,
So I'm glad they showed restraint with that, because that would have been an easy tie-in to make.
Yep.
Although absurd,
yes,
it could have been something they could have thrown
out
there.
And I think
there.
His campaign team's smart enough to realize, don't connect the two.
Thank
yes.
goodness. On a funny note, considering Anthony Weiner.
Yes.
Has anyone out there seen the musical Wicked?
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic musical. Mm-hmm. Now, the original Broadway run featured Christian Chenoweth as one of the main actresses. One of the most popular songs in that musical is called Popular.
Right.
If you're not familiar with that song from the Broadway musical Wicked, here's a little taste.
Popular. You're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper poise when you talk to boys. Little ways to flirt and glance. Ooh, I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix your hair. Everything that really counts to be popular. I'll help you be popular.
So that's the original version. Christian Chenoweth did a parody version all about Anthony Weiner.
Really?
The right kind of popular. I'll teach you to zip your fly. You won't be that guy with a camera down his pants. Oh, I'll teach you what tweets to tweet. Something clean and sweet. We'll make sure you get your chance to be popular. The right kind of popular. They'll think you've become a monk, though they've seen your junk. Now you'll play a different show. So let's start
I love it. Well done, Kristen Chenoweth.
Where did you perform this?
I forget the exact location.
No,
fantastic stuff. Now, there's this story out today as well. Barbara Morgan, Anthony Weiner's communications director, told the New York Daily News that a former campaign intern was a bleeping slut bag.
What?
Yeah, so he's got a lot of classy people working
wow.
for him.
Yeah.
Yes. This was following a comment piece she had written for the paper. Ms. Morgan later apologized for her comments, claiming she thought they had been made off the record.
Sure.
The editor who published the story, Josh Marshall, insisted otherwise. Yes, this intern, her name is Olivia Nuzzi, went on a rampage about all these people dropping out of the
right.
campaign
and
how
that.
She was stepping down. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Barbara Morgan wouldn't just let that sit
no.
and had to call her a slut bag, among some other things that I cannot repeat.
Oh, wow.
So the Weiner campaign, always keeping it classy, that's for sure. It is 627 with Mike and Matt.